Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 509-727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. Mr. John McKay, how you doing over there?
Doing good, and Monday's a big day.
Monday's a big day?
That's when Kamiakin starts official softball practice.
Oh, for you, Mr. John McKay, yes, official softball dad duties in full effect. So
yes.
Okay, well, I can understand that. I look forward to hearing these updates, and hopefully a little bit warmer, better weather for that
supposed
as well.
Supposed to be. Last year when we had that horrible weather in March, one of the girls got so her hands went numb.
Oh, yeah. It was cold. Yeah.
Oh, it was horrible.
We are not. Let's keep those vibes away for sure. We do not want that happening. Well, we are looking forward to those warmer days, and a little bit more light always helps with showing. So I've been enjoying an extra hour or two in the evenings.
Supposed to be in the 50s this weekend.
I'm going to take it. Well, we're ready for the real estate market to heat up with that as well. Well, John, I always like to start off the show with our crazy celebrity real estate story. This one coming out of Santa Barbara. And you know what I always like about these stories sometimes is hearing where these properties originally came from.
Okay.
So a Santa Barbara estate recently came on the market for $88 million. It's 11 acres with panoramic ocean and mountain views, and Santa Barbara's gorgeous. But get this, it's owned by, they call her the kitty litter heiress.
Huh.
I was fascinated how people made their money. So these, this was the family that originally had Johnny Cat kitty litter.
Oh, okay. See, because we haven't had cats for years, so I'm totally out of the picture when
This was the company. It's roughly 7,500 square foot house, pool and pool house. They had bought the lots around 1957.
Wow.
Built the house in 61. And then the current owner is the daughter of the owners who originally built. So this house hasn't changed hands for over 50 plus years. So it's pretty rare property like that. Reason why they're selling is they own an auction business in South Florida and the Boston area. And so they're just on the East Coast more and found that they were not spending a lot of time there. But it is absolutely stunning property. In the middle of Santa Barbara, you can have horses, have views, have everything. So if you got $88 million lying around, McKay, and you want to fly down for a look, you just be the first one to let me know.
Does it come with a complimentary cat litter box?
I'm positive. I might even be able to get you a horse or two out of it with the stables.
Well, that's a bigger box.
Okay. Well,
a shovel.
That is a shovel for sure. I'm sure at that price, we can work a couple extras in for you. Well, local story, I always like to give a quick review and a shout out to wrapped up last weekend, the Home and Garden Show out there at the Happo Center, and it was great. I always like to kind of give like my top two booths that were out there. And I got to tell you, this year, as far as display and what was out there, shout out to John Deere and RDO. And maybe that's just because I like the toys a lot, McKay.
Uh-huh.
But they kind of brought it. Like, they had quite a bit of equipment out there and a good setup and a good display. And so all of your exterior maintenance and larger acreage properties. So great job by them. And then I thought the Anderson Window and Door Company, Boost Anderson Corporate, had a number of windows and different door selections you could look at. And I've been to a lot of these international shows like in Vegas and Florida too. And I would say that came as close to mimicking it with those two booths that I had seen. So great to see the local guys kind of stepping up their game. And there was a lot of great vendors out there and a lot of great people out there for sure. So great job to the HBA and the Home and Garden Show. So John, with the local story, I had a couple different questions this week, and I always like to prepare for the show each week by taking like what consumers are asking me. Mm-hmm. And if I hear it a couple different times during the week, what that looks like. And it's usually a great show topic. And One of the biggest things that I heard over the course of the last couple weeks was properly pricing homes to go on the market. In fact, I had a great conversation with two different sellers over the course of the last couple days. And then an article came out on Housing Wire that listed, it just hit a little close to home. They listed the top five markets that had had the most price reductions before the home sold. And Wenatchee and East Wenatchee made that list at 53%.
Wow.
And so that means, you know, those homes that went on the market there, of all of the ones that sold in the last couple months, 53% of those had to do a price reduction to get to the finish line. And so I thought, okay, that really falls into line with what sellers are asking us right now. And just a quick review of what people need to be looking at for pricing. And we get this a lot right now. And the biggest thing that we run into this time of year is we're coming out of some of the winter months. We're coming out of some months with higher interest rates. And then going into a spring market, there's a tendency for the consumer to look at what we call comparative market analysis. And that's when, as agents, we pull up homes that are, you know, comparable to your house. So if you've got a, so the best example is if you've got a three bedroom, two bath, single story house, I don't want to put any comparables in there that are two stories. I really, if I can help it, I don't want to put a house on that list that is more than a mile or two away from your house. Now, sometimes we have to expand these searches. And then I also want it to be roughly within 10 years of age-wise as built around the same time as your house. So you might be asking yourself, McKay, well, then what happens with all of these price reductions and these mistakes? Well, I'll tell you what happens a lot is that right now in this market, you really should be trying to find comparables that are within 90 days of being sold when you go on the market. But what happens a lot of times is as consumers, and I've been a typical seller myself and been in that situation, but a lot of times people want to go back and look at, say, last summer's rates. You know, their friends down the street sold their house in July last year, and that's the price. It's very similar to ours. That's the price we would like to get for our house. If that's how we all price property, of just what Jim and, you know, Shelley sold their house for, we'd be in trouble. And so one of the things that doesn't come into play that people got to look at is, yeah, when they sold their house last July, though, rates were at 5%. You know, now rates are, you know, at 6.5%. So has that affected pricing in the market? Has that affected buying power that the buyers that are going to be looking at your house have? And so to get a really, really good look at what the recent market has done, you've got to try to stick to the 90 days. And so it's a huge, huge misstep that I see a lot of people make with properly pricing homes in the market. And that is that they're looking at an old market, not looking at what has happened in the last 90 days.
Yeah.
The next thing that a lot of times people will ask me is they'll be like, well, Lance, what's the hurt in that strategy? I mean, I think the market's going to rebound and come back to where we're at. And so I always talk through people that situation and say, well, one of the things that we got to look at is that 85% of the transactions in this market roughly are going to be done with some sort of financing. And when they're done with some sort of financing, that means the bank is going to order an appraisal to check the value of the property.
Yes.
Anybody heard of a recent Trump case in New York?
Yeah.
You know about this? Okay. Sorry, I don't want to digress, but we're talking about the same basic principles here with the house, meaning that the bank's not just going to believe us because John and Sally's house, you know, sold for X number of dollars last July. They are going to go in and they're going to send out a professional appraiser that has standards, accredited standards that he has to follow. And I can almost assure you that he's going to be giving the most weight to the last 90 days and those comparables in the last 90 days. When he does that, if he doesn't get the value of the sales contract that's been agreed to, regardless of both parties agreeing, and he gets a lower value than that, you're going to have an appraisal problem anyway at that situation. Now, of course, you might get a cash offer and then everything's perfect and rosy and there's no issues.
Yeah.
But we're talking 15% of the time versus the other 85% of the time. So if nothing else, we're trying to stave off potential appraisal problems. And as a good real estate agent and a great real estate agent that you're working with, they should be helping you determine, much like an appraiser would, what is that current market value so that you nail that when you go in the first time. The next thing that we always look at, too, that we talk about, second tip that I have written down in that situation is, second thing you can do with pricing is learn from other sellers' mistakes.
Yes.
Okay, the other thing that you can look at is expired listings, right? So somebody went in, and we can look and find similar comparable properties that never sold. They were put on the market, they expired, they went off the market, the seller decided not to sell. And you can also use that as an example to see, like, why didn't this house sell? And sometimes there's other reasons. You got to do a little bit of research, but was it on a busy street? Was it in a construction zone? Was it a newer neighborhood and people didn't like all the noise and construction around? Where, you know, were there other factors at play in the situation? And you can do a little bit of research and say, okay, X, Y, and Z might have contributed to the sale. Price might have contributed to the sale. Or then we start to look into condition as well. And you can identify, obviously, at this price, that home did not sell. And that should be a comparable that you're also looking at with pricing. Our goal is to get that pricing correct for you right off the bat. Because, you know, when you look at a market, like how this all came up, and you look like at a market like Wenatchee and East Wenatchee, there were probably some other factors there too, because that market went absolutely berserk the last 3 to 4 years ago. It was very similar to the Coeur d'Alene market and the Boise market, where you had a lot of outside influences from Seattle and people from the west side buying second homes and vacation homes in that whole Wenatchee, Leavenworth type valley. Well, if you are pricing now or this winter based upon those trends that were happening 10 to 12 months ago, and those trends are no longer there, that's why we're having to see a whole community like that have to do those price adjustments to make up for it. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about pricing strategy in this very, very strange market that we have, transitioning with low inventory, but also not necessarily the highest prices.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about proper pricing in your market. We've been looking at some national data about top markets that had the most price adjustments that across the U.S. If you look at the national average, you'll see, you know, 10 to 12%. But we had markets in Washington that had done 50%. And so we're just looking at what kind of changing market brings the point of those price reductions into play. So you've got a couple things, and we're going to be in this situation for likely a lot of the rest of the year, if not most of the rest of the year. And what I mean by that is that we have been very, very interest rate sensitive lately. And so if, in fact, we've had 3 month time periods where we've seen interest rates change a complete point, meaning they've gone from, you know, 8.5 to 7.5 and then all the way into the sixes, thank goodness, or I might be out of business. But it's at 6.5%, we see now we can base our number of phone calls that we get based upon where that rate has been in the last couple of weeks. The problem is if you're pricing a house based upon a market that had 5.5% rates, mm-hmm. and you're currently in a market that has 7% rates, those aren't going to be, as they say, apples to apples, you know, or oranges to oranges. Yeah. Like, you're comparing two different markets, both by time and then also by circumstance in that situation. So when you're preparing up pricing for a house to go on the market, you have to pay very, very close attention to what the current market is and what the recent comps have been. The other thing that you want to watch out for, and I call it, don't make your asking price naturally lump you in with your competition. So there's a theory called price banding. And so basically, okay. when you look at that, you'll say, for instance, we can pull up 400,000 to 425,000. And let's say we find 100 homes on the market. But if you pull up 395 to 400, you might only find 11 or 12 homes on the market in that situation. Well, in that current situation, if you looked at those numbers and you were going to be anywhere near that 400 mark, it's very, very likely that somebody might say, you know what, at a minimum, I can spend 400, but I can spend up to 425. And so if someone does a search like that, there might be, like I said, 100 homes that come up as competition. But if you were anywhere close to that 400 mark and you had the ability to, you might consider pricing at 398 or 399, and then you're only competing against 10 homes on the market. So that when the buyer pulls that up, you're way more likely to get shown in that situation. And this can change dramatically, especially around $25,000 increments, like 275, 300, 325. Always in those situations, take a look at what the next band below you has to offer as far as competition, and use that to put you in a price point to where your house stands out. So that's a big one for sure. The other thing that you can look at within that same concept is what they call century pricing, right? Like, McKay, when I tell you a house is $300,000,
okay,
you have a reaction. What if I tell you that house is $299,000?
Well, subconsciously, I'm going to think it's cheaper. It's the same reason why... And this new automotive treatment is only $19.99 as opposed to saying it's $20.
Yep.
It's all marketing psychology.
You're exactly right. And so they call that, like, even in like the grocery business, they call that like century pricing.
$14.99 as opposed to $15.
If you have an opportunity in certain price segments, that will make a difference. And sometimes statistically, the numbers are just way different on your side. Like 450,000 to 499,000, the number of sales that are there versus 500 to 525 are drastically different
because of the four
that's in front of it. That's exactly right. So that's a big one. The next thing that I tell sellers, and this is a very hard thing for sellers to do, but it's an extra step that I think, and it doesn't work for everybody, because some people, I'm just going to say, are too emotional to do this. And that's not a bad thing. Like, we need those people in our lives, but there are also some people that have natural objectivity. And I actually feel, as a real estate agent, it makes my job way easier and it makes me way better at it. But what I mean by that is that there is nothing like getting in the homes of your competition. So if you're going to put your house on the market for, and you think it's worth $425,000, and your real estate agent is just adamant that it is at the top level worth, say, $410,000 versus $425,000.
Okay.
They likely have a reason to do that. And that usually is to help you get, in our case, we always tell people our goal is to get you the most amount of money in the least amount of time with the fewest hassles. And yes, we generally throw in the least amount of time because we know that if the house sells faster, you will naturally get closer to the list price that you were asking for. And that's why it's so important. That's why this whole show is so important, because obviously there are markets around the U.S. now that are starting to miss this mark if we're doing entire articles on price reductions compared to the number of houses on the market. But get in the car with your real estate agent. If you have an opportunity to, go look at the top two competitors and put yourself in the buyer's shoes. Put yourself in the buyer's shoes and you go through those houses and you say, if I was a fresh, brand new buyer, and this is why I said some people emotionally just can't do this because they're so attached to their current house. As humans, we naturally get attached to those things. But if you go and see what your competition looks like, if there's another house that's cleaner or it has a third car garage or it has a better backyard, you can go through those houses and say, you know what? If we were priced at 425 and those other ones were priced at 410, I would 100% buy those other ones instead of mine.
Ooh.
And so you have to say, okay, what if we were all at 410? Now do we compete with those other? Well, I think we do because we have a third car garage, but they had brand new carpet. And you can start to make then apples to apples comparisons in those situations. And so if you get that opportunity, I have done this with a number of sellers over the years. I did this 2 weeks ago with a seller that I had, and we went through four or five different houses. And it was really eye-opening to see the different amenities and what was out there in the price range. And it changed the strategy for the seller when they went to go on the market. Because our goal is, you know, if we can get you, I mean, in general, it was weird. The last 2 years, in our business, we call this a list price to sold price ratio.
Okay.
And so that is, you know, what did you list the house for? And then what did it actually end up selling for? Well, for the last couple of years, our market has actually been over 100%. And you're like, okay, Lance, I've seen this trend on TikTok. Are you using realtor math or girl math or boy math? But what happened is there was such low inventory that the sold price was actually higher than the list price because of bidding wars. Now that's not the case anymore. And the list price, sold price ratio is now below 100%. But our goal is to keep that price around 99 to 99.5% is generally what we have ran with on the Kenmore team over the course of the last 20 years. So when you look at that, you get a lower days on the market. The seller doesn't have to make as many mortgage payments. Mm-hmm. Also, subconsciously, there's going to be less concessions made if you sell within the first couple weeks, because people are going to look and see how long has that home been on the market? Why hasn't it sold in, you know, 70 days? And so you look at pricing as an indication. And then the last thing that I say about this entire topic is if you miss the mark in that situation in the beginning, don't hesitate to do a price cut after the listing. If you've gone a couple of weeks and you've had zero showings and you're not getting the activity that you've gotten, it is appropriate to relook at those comparables with your agent and make a price adjustment to get the home sold. But with proper pricing and looking at the comparables in the market, you can avoid a lot of that. My goal is that we don't see Tri-Cities on that Housing Wire list with over 50%. If you have any questions at all about proper pricing, you can go to KenmoreTeam.com and shoot me a message. I do real quick want to end with a pick three, though.
I was going to say.
I know, yep. We were going to run out of time to get it out there, but I do have a quick pick three. I'm going to start with 1353 Southeast Carolina Avenue in Richland. 3-bed, 1-bath, 1345 square feet, LVP flooring, spacious kitchen, epoxy counters, stainless steel appliances, very nice looking property. And that's coming in at $310,000. There are options out there in that price range. Pick number two, once again, another great property, 509 West 10th. Move-in ready, fully fenced backyard, 20 by 13 shop with electrical, four bedroom, two bath, 1581 square feet, large living area, well-equipped kitchen with LVP flooring. And that's coming in at $330,000. Like, we're getting some awesome properties in a great, great price points. And then pick number three, I'm going to take you to Benton City, 23601 North Willard Avenue, 2,100 square feet on over half an acre. Great room layout, laminate wood floors, spacious kitchen and dining room, island with breakfast bar, primary suite with walk-in closet, French doors out to the patio. And that's coming in over 2,000 square feet for $469,000. So there is some great inventory coming on. We are starting to get glimpses of that early spring market inventory. If you have any questions about any of that, go to our website, kenmoreteam.com. Look us up, shoot us a message, yes. And we'll be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.